All right. Well, it's a joy to be here with you tonight. Amen. I appreciate this opportunity to be back at Calvary Baptist. Good to see these boys and girls here. It doesn't seem like that long ago when I was right there where they are. Amen. And I'm a bus kid. I started riding the Sunday school bus to church when I was about 9 years old. Amen. So you see, I don't want to discourage you by that. Amen. But as a matter of fact, my wife is a bus kid. And she started riding the Sunday school bus to the Vision Baptist Church there in Ortonville, Michigan. And as a matter of fact, her entire family was won to Christ primarily by the influence of the bus ministry. They were having a Sunday school campaign. If you were able to get your mom and dad to come to church with you, every boy and girl that got their mom and dad to come could stick their hand in a big jar of change, and it wasn't copper, it was all dimes and quarters and nickels, and you could stick your hand in that jar and as much change as you could bring out of it was yours. And she got fired up about that, invited her mom and dad to come, and God used that in their life to get them saved. Amen. And they're faithful people now in the work of the Lord. So we just thank the Lord for His goodness. I'm glad to see all of these kids here. Amen. And the only thing I think about and I kind of get worried about when I have children in the service, I'm just hoping and praying that I don't reap what I sowed. Amen? Because I can remember doing a couple of things in church. If I reap what I sow tonight, y'all are in trouble. Amen? But we're glad to be here tonight. Well, we're looking at Galatians chapter 6 tonight, Galatians chapter number 6. And I want to begin reading to you with verse number 6, Galatians chapter 6. And verse number 6. Boys and girls, I promise you, if you listen to me tonight, I'll tell you some stories that you will find interesting. It was amazing when these kids walked in, a couple of little girls saw me on the platform, and I saw one of them look at me and say to her friend, "Who is he?" Amen? Boy, they were just like thinking, "Who in the world is that guy?" Amen? Well, I am Evangelist Oliver Areza, and I'm glad to be with you here tonight. We're going to have a good time. If you listen to me, I promise you we'll tell you a couple of stories that you'll enjoy, and you'll have a great time. Let's stand together, shall we, for the reading of God's Word, Galatians chapter number 6. And I want to begin reading with verse number 6. The Bible says here, "Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I want to draw your attention tonight to verse number 9. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." I want to give you a message tonight that I've entitled, "Keep Your Eyes on the Prize." Amen? Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray now for Your blessing upon this service tonight. I'm grateful to be here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for every person that You've brought in. I pray that You'd give them each a special blessing. You know exactly the needs that we have tonight spiritually. And I pray that You'd feed us, Lord, from Your Word tonight. Lord, I pray that You would be honored and pleased in our response to the truth. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so very much. The book of Galatians was written to a group of churches that the Apostle Paul had started on his first missionary journey. And word had gotten to the Apostle that some bad doctrine had moved into these churches by a way of a group of men known as Judaizers. They were Jewish traditionalists, and they sought to place these Gentile believers, these Gentile converts, under the Mosaic law. They undermined Paul's teaching. They defected his new converts. Hey, girls, look at me now. Sit down and look at me. They defected his converts, and they even questioned his apostleship. So the Apostle Paul settled these matters with a series of contrasts. If you read the book of Galatians, you will see very clearly that it is laid out in a contrast. Law versus grace. Faith versus works. The fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. Liberty, license, and freedom and bondage. And then in chapter number 6, he summed up this book with an incredible challenge to never give up. I want you to notice what he says once again in verse number 7. He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now he lays down in this passage here the law of the harvest. He tells us in this passage, don't be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, whatever we put in the ground is what we're going to receive. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he's not talking about planting seeds in the ground. He's talking about things that we put into our life, things that we bring into our life, things that we sow into our own hearts and minds and lives. And he is telling us that there is a law of harvest. He's telling us by the law of the harvest that you are going to exactly reap what you sow. In other words, if we plant corn, then Lord willing, in a few weeks, we're going to have some corn sprouts coming out of the ground. Amen. Have you ever seen corn? Anybody ever seen cornfields? I know you live in Ohio. Have you ever seen a cornfield before? Amen. I know that you have. All right. Amen. A lot of corn's grown here in Ohio. You put those kernels in the ground, and God blessing it, Lord willing, a few weeks after that, corn's going to pop up. It's going to sprout, it's going to take off, and then a stalk, and then a couple of ears of corn. Listen, if you put corn in the ground, you plant corn, you're not going to reap, you're not going to pick tomatoes off of that. And my friend, what you sow is going to be what you reap. The second thing we learn about the law of the harvest is what you sow, you're going to reap it multiplied. It's been said that you can count the seeds in an apple, but you cannot count the apples in a seed. So my friend, he is warning us about the law of the harvest. You may think it's just a little sin, but you don't understand what that little sin, what it can turn into, what it may become. So what you reap, you're going to reap it multiplied. He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Then he goes on to say, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." And that word corruption, it means putrefying, oozing, nasty sores. He says that's what you're going to reap because of that. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now you know it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which one of those that you ought to want. Amen? I mean, the Bible says you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. Boy, that's pretty clear for us. Amen. He's telling us that God has given us that opportunity to be able to sow, and what we sow, we're going to reap it. We're going to reap it multiplied. Then he gets into our text verse in verse number 9. He says, "Be not weary." Now that word weary, I'm interested in that word because it literally means like an archer would loosen up a bowstring. I like to hunt in the fall season. I like to deer hunt. And I like to bow hunt. So I know a little bit about what these words mean here. And it says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall also reap." He says, "Be not weary in well-doing." And that word weary means loosen up, like an archer would loosen up a bowstring. If you have a recurve bow and that recurve bow is not strung up, it's loosened up, you can't do anything with it. I guess you could take it and club something to death, but that's not the idea of a bow. You want it to be strung up tight so you can knock an arrow, you can draw and shoot. And he's saying in this passage, "Be not weary in well-doing." Don't be loosened up in well-doing, because in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. You know, a lot of times I think one of the things that happens to us as Christians, that we get tired in the battle. And we start dropping our guards, and it's not a time to loosen up. It's a time to tighten up. When I was in Bible college, I worked in a ministry called a Servicemen's Ministry. We would take a bus from Hammond, Indiana, and go up to Great Lakes Naval Base and pick up a load of sailors and bring them back to the church services. And actually, I was working in the youth ministry. That ministry had just gotten started. And they wanted to have a special activity on a Saturday afternoon. Now, remember, the church there in Hammond, Indiana is just a humongous church. I mean, it's in the suburbs of Chicago. I mean, right there at your doorstep, there's over 3.5 million people right there. Just an incredible place for ministry. Well, this sailor ministry said, we want to have a boxing match. We're going to have a big boxing spectacular. And they challenged the youth ministry to box. They challenged the youth ministry to box against them. Well, I was in the youth ministry, and my leaders came and asked me if I would be willing to represent the youth ministry in this big boxing spectacular. Well, when I was growing up, I did a little bit of neighborhood boxing, but nothing real serious. But I've always been kind of gullible for those kind of things. And they kept bothering me about it and bothering me about it. And finally, I said, okay, I'll represent. I'll be one of the boxers to represent the youth ministry, boxing against the sailor ministry. And boy, I had a friend of mine that was an experienced Golden Glove boxer, and he told me that he would give me some pointers on how to box, you know, because I might be boxing against somebody that has a lot of experience. And I was a little bit nervous about it. But in college, man, you don't have any time just to study and work and get very little sleep. And all of a sudden, I found myself the very day of the boxing match, I hadn't trained at all for it. And boy, I was nervous as could be. I felt like, my goodness, I'm going to get out there and this sailor is going to knock my block off. I mean, man, I had butterflies. I was scared to death. A friend of mine said, now, Oliver, he says, listen, I don't know how experienced this boxer is going to be. But he said, but one of the most important things that you need to think about when you're out on that boxing ring is, listen, don't let down your guards. I'm telling you, if you drop your dukes, he's gonna clean your clock. You've got to keep your dukes up. And he said, and when you get ready to jab, he said, don't jerk your elbow or your head, because if he's an experienced boxer and he sees that that's what you do before you jab, he's going to be jabbing you first. He said, you've got to keep your dukes up. You've got to jab straight to him. Keep yourself protected. And he said, and the one that gives up is the one that's going to lose. Boy, isn't that a blessing? Amen. But here's what, now remember, I was a freshman in Bible college, as green as could be. And I thought to myself, you know, man, if this guy whoops me, he's going to think for the rest of his life that Christians are nothing but sissies. So I said, you know what? I don't want him to think that Christians are sissies, so I need to whoop him so I can witness to him. Now remember, I was a green freshman at Bible college. You've got to excuse that silly kind of logic, amen? But that was my mentality. I don't want him to think that Christians are sissies, so I got to whoop him so I can win him to Jesus. Amen? That was my motivation. Boy, we got in that ring there, and man, I tell you what, they had people there watching and had a bell there and a little makeshift rope set up, and they introduced us in our weight, you know, and man, the bell rang, and boy, we went out there after it. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive, amen, and I wanted to give it to him. And man, that first round, you talk about going after it, son. We went after it like, I'm telling you, like cats and dogs, son. I mean, just a duking away. And I think both of us in that first round, both of us drew a little bit of blood from each other. And you want to get Baptists excited, let them see blood, and they go wild. Ah, it's crazy. And I mean, we went after it, just a boxing and punching. And I kept thinking to myself, listen, I don't want this guy to think that I'm a sissy. I don't want him to think that Christians are sissies. If he whoops me, he's going to think that all Christians are sissies, and he's probably going to die and go to hell. So I need to whoop him so I can win him to Christ. Boy, that was my motivation. Amen? Man, that first round came to an end. And man, I felt like the Lord had cut off my oxygen supply. I mean, you talk about, I was already worn out after the first round. We was only going to box 3 3-minute rounds. That doesn't seem like much. But if you've ever been out on the boxing match, you know, man, that seems like an eternity. And that first round was over with, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my soul, I got two more of these things to go through. And man, I thought to myself, you know, I think I got him on this round. I think I got him. So man, we got rested up for just a little bit and the bell rang, and man, it was time for the second round. And I'm telling you, son, you talk about going after it. That second round, I mean, we went after it. And I'm telling you, my friend,
one of the sport that you have to be in best shape is boxing, because you are giving it everything you've got, but you're not just giving it, you're taking it. And sometimes you're taking it more than you're giving it. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, that second round, I'm thinking to myself, this guy, he's out to get me. What am I going to do? And boy, I'm trying to keep my guard up and punching and duking. And man, we're going at it. And I'm thinking to myself, man, did the batteries go dead on that clock? What's the matter with my timekeeper now? I mean, we must be fighting for 30 minutes now. Finally, that 3 minutes was over. Wham, the second round was over with. Man, you talking about dead beat tired. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, oh my soul, I don't even know if I can make another round. I mean, you talking about being worn out. I was worn out. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know. I said, this second round, I don't know. I don't know if I got it or not. I don't know. So if I'm going to win this fight here, I've got to make this third round count. And man, that bell rang, which started that last round, and I'm telling you, I was so tired. By the time we came to that second round, I didn't have the strength to pull up my arms into fighting position. I had to swing my body like this, finally, to get them in position. And man, you talking about a chore. Man, it was a chore. The hardest thing in the world for me to do on that third round was to keep my hands wanted to just drop. And if they drop, it's going to leave you completely exposed. And my friend, it's like we're in the third round. And there are a lot of Christians right now, they're dropping their guard, and you know what the devil's doing? Pow! He's knocking you out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And he said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't drop your guard. Don't get discouraged. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary. Don't get loosened up. There are a lot of God's people who are loosening up. It's not time to loosen up. It's time to tighten up. Be not weary in well-doing. Too many of God's people, we've been in the battle too long. We've got used to the tactics and we've dropped our guard. And all of a sudden, wham, something comes along and it nails us. And we get discouraged and we get out of church and we stop serving God. We stop praying and reading our Bibles. Get your dukes up. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. I'm telling you, and I know this is a corny illustration, but every now and then, man, it just seemed like when the opportunity was there, man, I was able to deliver a blow. Pow! The contest came to an end. We went back to our corners. The judges discussed it. They brought us back to the center of the ring. And they said, by unanimous decision, the winner of this bout, Oliver Araiza. And they raised my arm up and gave me a boxing trophy. It's the only boxing trophy I've got. It's the only one I want. Amen. I don't even want another boxing trophy. We went at the end of that fight, went into the locker room. And I'm telling you, my friend, we must have sat there in that locker room almost side by side from each other about 45 minutes to an hour before we caught our breath enough to talk. And I looked over at that young man and I said, man, that was quite a fight. I said, if we'd have had to go on another minute in that round or another round, there's no way in the world I could have pulled it out. You could have pushed me over with a feather. That was, you're a tough fighter. And then I began to witness to him. And he said to me, oh, I've been a Christian. I got saved when I was a little boy. And he told me about this church down in southern Indiana somewhere. And I'm thinking to myself, all of that for this? You're supposed to be lost. I wanted to win you, beat you so I could win you to Jesus. But he didn't give me that chance. But the key is, don't drop your guard. And the apostle was saying to these believers here, he is saying, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. I believe in his own words he's saying, you got to keep your eyes on the prize. What is the prize? Well, number one, you got to keep your eyes on the fruit. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. I want you to listen to these verses here. The Bible says here, Paul to the Philippians says, now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound
to your account. And folks, you know, we have to always remember the business that we're in, if you want to say it that way, we are looking for fruit. We're looking for people fruit. And God is an amazing accountant. And God has a way of being able for us, as we give our tithes and our offerings, that God knows exactly what we give. He knows exactly, He knows the people that are being saved, people that are being saved all over the world, people that are being saved in Mexico and China and here in America. And God is an amazing accountant. And He says, I want fruit that's going to bounce to your account. We can never lose sight. Listen, it's people that we're after. It's souls that we're after. Man, it's about these winning these boys and girls to Jesus Christ. Several years ago when I was working as a preacher boy with Dr. Joe Boyd, we was holding a meeting down in Springfield, Missouri for an old-time preacher. I loved him with all of my heart. His name was Brother Tom McGath. One-legged preacher, tough as could be, tough. I mean, I'm talking about an old preacher that took a stand for the gospel and righteousness. And we had a revival going on. I was the dean of men conducting the children's service. We probably had an auditorium about half this size that we were using for a junior church auditorium. And man, they let me put on a real exciting promotion. And boy, we had boys and girls coming. I'm telling you, we were packing out that junior church. As a matter of fact, I had just about an area about a half the size of this kind of platform area right here. That's all I had because we had kids crammed. We had all the chairs filled and the front altar area filled. And I mean, it was just a small area that I had to preach. I gave my children's story that night, gave the invitation. Several children came to be saved. We wrote there. We dealt with them. After I dealt with them, we dealt with them individually. Then we got their names and sent them to the revival meeting to let the people know that they had been saved. And then we dismissed them to get on the buses and they were going to take them home. And all of a sudden, as I was cleaning up, all the kids that were gone, I was cleaning up, I noticed one of the back doors opened up in that little auditorium. And this little girl that had gotten saved that night, she came, opened the door, saw me, and she made a beeline straight from that door as she saw me, right straight to me. And she came and she put her arms around my waist and she said, Brother Oliver, thank you so much for telling me about Jesus tonight. I never heard anybody tell me about Jesus. Thank you, Brother Oliver. Thank you. There's going to be a multitude of people like that. But we don't even know who they are. Because that we may have fruit that abounds to your account. You've got to keep your eyes on the fruit. It's all about people. It's all about salvation. It's all about people getting saved. It's all about converts being baptized. It's all about teaching them the Bible. Amen. It's all about finding some way to let the gospel do a work in their lives. And it's like the Apostle Paul is saying, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You've got to keep your eyes on the fruit, and we're talking about people fruit. Number two, he says, keep your eyes on the fight. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You know, we are involved in a fight. We are involved in a battle. I like what old Dr. Lester Roloff used to say. He used to sing that song, It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. And we better realize there are some things that we need to be willing to fight for. Amen? That we need to be willing to fight for. I think the church is worth fighting for. Amen? I think the Bible, the old King James, is worth fighting for. Amen? I think young people are worth fighting for. There are a lot of people today, a lot of churches give up on boys and girls. You know why? Because these kids right here, they don't give anything to the ministry. As a matter of fact, all they do is take right now. But one of these days, they will get in the position to give. But because they don't contribute to a ministry, there are a lot of times people just mark them off. But I think they're worth fighting for. Amen? I believe that. Several years ago, I was helped build a conference down in Dallas, Texas. And I was working primarily with the youth ministry, with the teenagers. And I had a campaign that I was working with. We were going to have blitz teams all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area trying to get people to come in. And we wanted to have a lot of people saved on this one particular night of the conference.
And I'd go in to the different men in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, these different churches and pastors, and I would lay my material out and tell them what I wanted to do and what I was trying to do, and then say, do you want to be a part of this? And I'd go into these men of God and I'd tell them my plans, and many of them would say, man, that's exciting, Brother Oliver, let's go for it. You can count on us. I went into this office of this one man, a pretty well-known preacher in that area, if you grew up in that area. I laid my material out and I said, how about it, sir? Man, we're going to do this. Would you be a part of it? Now, he knew the era that I came out of in the Dallas-Fort Worth teenagers there. And when I was a teenager, there were red-hot youth groups all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He knew that I came out of that era. And he looked at me and he said, Oliver, he said, I remember how it was when you was a teenager. He said to me, but I believe that the days of youth groups and youth pastors like you knew it are over with. We won't be participating. Now, I wasn't mean and unkind to him. He is my elder, and I respected him. And I'm not there to argue with anybody. I'm just telling him my plans. If you want to be a part of it, great. If not, that's all right. We're going to go on with it. But that man will never know what he did for me. When he looked at me and he said, I believe the days of youth groups and youth pastors are over. I said, listen, we're just going to do this. If you want to be a part of it, fine. If not, I understand. Well, we're going to go ahead and go on. I packed my material up and I walked out the door. And as I walked out, the thought came to my mind, brother, it'll be a cold day in hell before I give up on the teenagers. I'm just not willing to just sit there and just believe that those days are over with. And brother, I believe that there's some things worth fighting for. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, you better make sure that you're fighting for the right cause. War, a good warfare. You better make sure that you pick the right kind of battles, brother. I think the church is worth fighting for. I think the old time Bible is worth fighting for. I think old time fundamental Bible preaching is worth fighting for. I think reaching out to the young people is worth fighting for. And I believe the old time preacher is saying, be not weary in well doing. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. Don't drop your guards. Don't lose your hope. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. He says you got to keep your eyes on the fruit. You got to keep your eyes on the fight. He says, number three, and finally, he says you got to keep your eyes on the faith. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Listen to these verses. Philippians 3:8, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And then verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm saying to my friend, listen, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season. We don't know when due season is. Only God knows when that time is. But he's saying, don't be weary. Don't get knocked out. Don't get tired. Don't throw in the towel. Don't drop your guard. Don't loosen up, tighten up. Be not weary, for in due season ye shall reap. It's kind of like we're just screaming out to old time religion, don't give up till Jesus comes back. Be not weary, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. You've got to keep your eyes on the finish line. Did we have anybody in this crowd here tonight that was a track runner? Any track runners in here? Hold up your hand if you ran track. All right, we got a couple of track runners. You know, one of the most important things about running a race is that you look straight on. And one of the techniques of running is that all of your motions when you're running, that everything is forward. Everything is forward. There's a technique to running. If a good running coach will tell you whether your running is not right or not. A lot of guys will move their arms this way, but moving your arms this way is slowing you down. Everything goes this way. Everything goes this way, straight forward. And it's keep your eyes straight forward. If you stop to turn around to see where your opponents are, you're going to lose ground. You've got to look forward. And the apostle says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And friend, in this race, the Christian race, we're not racing against each other. My race is not against Brother Lance. We're not racing against each other. What we're racing now against time, redeeming the time. We're trying to finish what God's called us to do. And there are a whole lot of God's people that God called them, but listen, they are becoming weary. They're dropping their guards. They're giving up. They're throwing in the towel. They're giving up classes. They're giving up bus routes. They're giving up ministries. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. You got to just keep running forward. Amen. We're not racing against each other. I'm running my race just as you're running your race. Amen? And the key is that we finish. Amen. We finish. Not time to retire. It's time to retread.
That's right.
Keep on moving on. I grew up in the home. My father was a general contractor. When I was just a young boy, I remember going to work with my dad, just a young boy. In those years, the only thing I was really able to do was maybe get him some nails and grab a tool every now and then. But as I worked with him and grew up, I learned to do more things. Learned to stud walls, learned to build houses, learned to do a lot of roofing and remodeling and siding work. That's the kind of work that I grew up doing. And my brothers and I have two brothers, Larry and Daniel. We would do a lot of the roofing for my father. We'd put on shingles. In that hot Texas summer, we'd do it. We could do it fast. We did it. We did good work and we did fast work. You make more money if you do it fast. Amen. Who wants to drag the job out? Get the job done, collect. Amen. And then go drink some lemonade or something. Amen. Well, one particular summer, it was real hot. My dad hadn't been feeling well. He went to the doctor. And the doctor said to him in the middle of the summertime, he said, Oliver, to my father, he said, Oliver, you got double pneumonia. He said, Oliver, if you don't promise me you're going to go home and get well, then I'm sending you to the hospital. My dad said to the doctor, I promise you, I'll go home. I won't go to work. I'll get well. And he did. But there was a job that had to be done. And he asked me, he said, son, I don't want to put too much on you, but you think you can handle this job? I said, Dad, I know I can. I know it. I measured the roof, ordered the material, had it delivered. I led the job. Me and my brothers, we roofed that entire house and the garage. Roofed it. Now, my dad was very particular. Very particular. He wanted everything to be straight. He wanted it to be right. And if it wasn't, pull it up and do it right. There are times every now and then that you'd get off on a course or something. Maybe you didn't nail a shingle down and you didn't think about it and it was down a little bit. Well, you know, you can straighten it up to where it's not going to leak. It may not look the best, but it's not going to leak. That's really the most important thing. But my dad, it was important that it didn't leak and that it was right, that it looked good. And boy, I remember my dad saying, pull them up, boys. We don't do work like that. But, no buts, boys. Pull them up. But, no buts, son. Pull them up. We're going to do it right. I don't know why we ever tried to do it any other way. He always won. But I did the job, finished it, did it all for him. The job was complete. After my dad got well, he said, Oliver, I want to go see your work. So he had worked and bought a pickup truck, truck that I drove up to college. And my dad got in the drive in the passenger seat, and I went over to the job, and he said, pull around to the front of the house, son. I pulled in front of the house, and my dad just looked at that roof, just stared at it, just looked at it. He wasn't saying anything. He just kept making noises like, He's about to drive me crazy. I'm thinking, well, what does he see? I know it's right. What does he see? Is he see something wrong? He's just going, Then he says, go around the back and we'll see the back of the house. That's all he said. We went around the back and he's looking at that. Let me go close to the garage. Let me look at the garage. All right, son, let's go. That's all he said. Let's go. I'm thinking to myself, what did I do? I'm headed down the road, and my dad puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says, son, that roof you and your brothers did, son,
He said, "Son, you did a real good job, son. It looks real nice. And I want you to know, son, I'm real proud of you, son. It looks good." Man. Boy, you're talking about feeling good now, son. Woo! Man, I'm telling you. And friend, one of these days, if you stay faithful to the Lord, you'll hear from the lips of our Savior, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But it's not going to happen to those that drop the guard, throw in the towel, and give up. "And be not weary in well doing, for in due season," when is that? It might be tonight. "For in due season ye shall reap if." He gives us a promise, but here's the condition. If you faint not, don't drop your guard. Don't give up. Don't loosen up, tighten up. "In due season ye shall reap if you faint not." Keep your eyes on the prize. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, shall we? As we prepare for an invitation tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many tonight can honestly say, "Brother Oliver, there's no doubt in my mind. Preacher, I know without a doubt I'm going to heaven. I've been saved. I know I'm saved." Would you hold your hand up as a testimony of salvation tonight? Would you do that? You're saved and you know it. Isn't that wonderful? If you're happy to be saved tonight, how about a good hearty amen? Amen. Amen. Isn't it good to be saved? Praise the Lord. I wonder how many of you have been, not only have you been saved, but since you've been saved, you've been baptized also. Saved and baptized. Could I see your hand? Saved and baptized. Boy, that's wonderful. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Amen. Hey, friend. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. No doubt there's some here tonight. Maybe you have felt a little tired, a little weary. I hope not well-doing. But maybe tonight God in His wonderful grace and mercy has spoken to your heart and saying, "Hey, don't give up. Hey, it's not time to give up. It's not time to loosen up. It's time to tighten up." I wonder, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many tonight would honestly say, "Hey, preacher, God has spoken to my heart tonight. Pray for me. My heart was challenged tonight." Could I see your hand as a testimony? Hold it up real high. Let me pray for you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this evening, would there be somebody who said, "Brother Oliver, I was so close to throwing in the towel tonight. Maybe have recently entertained the thought of just giving up. Throwing in the towel, calling it quits. But I believe tonight, Brother Oliver, God's renewed my vision, revived my heart tonight. Pray for me." Could I see your hand? Would you lift it up? Let me have a prayer for you. Anybody like that? Lift it up real high. Anybody? All right, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe there's somebody here, you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I've never been saved. If something were to happen to me tonight, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I want to be saved. I need to be saved. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand up right now? Anybody like that? "Brother Oliver, I need to be saved tonight. Never been saved before. I need to be." All right, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how about somebody here say, "Preacher, I've been saved. I've never been baptized, though. I haven't been baptized since I've been saved. I need to be baptized. Pray for me, Brother Oliver." Would you lift up your hands? All right, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, God bless you. Brother Lance, would you mind stepping down to the floor there, please? I want these boys and girls that raise their hand. Hey, don't be playing around, boys. But if you raise your hand needing to be baptized and you want Brother Lance to pray with you about it, won't you slip to the aisle right now and let Brother Lance, let your preacher have a prayer for you. that you can be baptized as soon as possible to make the Lord happy. Come on right now. If you raise your hand, let the preacher pray with you. That's right, son. Come right ahead. God bless you, buddy. Now, don't come forward because your buddies come. You come because you want to. And that's right. Let this boy out right here. Amen. You pray about it. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless this invitation here in just a moment. As soon as I say amen, our pianist is going to hit that first note. And when she hits that note, that of invitation song, if God has spoken to your heart in some way tonight, why don't you slip to the nearest aisle? Find a place here at this altar. Pull your heart out to God. He'll help you. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Our Father, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us all, dear God, all of us. Every one of us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the prize. Knowing one of these days, if we're faithful, if we stick to the race, that we will reap. Help us and bless us tonight. Your will be done is our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.